The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by Eno, the Capital One assistant. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain podcast on ESPN Radio.
The great GOAT debate of the NBA. I think LeBron James has waved the white flag. And who could blame him? It's Michael Jordan and everybody knows it. But I think finally LeBron James has said, no mas. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. Coming up on today's show, the NFL has tabled its resolution to give draft pick incentive for the hiring of minority candidates across that league. We'll talk about what that means and whether or not that was a wise decision by the NFL. Let's break out a game of butthurt. It's been a while. Let's see who on the show is most likely to get butthurt in various situations. And sports are coming back. Our tolerance, our risk tolerance is going up. It's increasingly likely that we will have not just professional sports, but collegiate sports as well in the fall of 2020. And an uptick in coronavirus cases, even a positive test inside the world of college sports, doesn't look like it would shut down the entire enterprise like it did this past spring. Dr. Gordon Gee, who is the president of West Virginia University, was on the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday, and this is what he said about the situation of a positive coronavirus test.
I think that we're learning how to control it. And one thing is we need to get over panic. You know, we just need to be calm about this thing. It is here. It's going to deal with it. But, you know, if one of our athletes, for example, we're talking on about football right now, if one of our athletes gets a coronavirus, we can't just shut the whole thing down. We've got to figure out how to control that part of what we're doing.
There's Dr. Gordon Gee of West Virginia saying, we'll quarantine, we'll separate. As Laura Rutledge, ESPN's college football reporter, has said, they will treat the coronavirus positive test like a flu positive test. Separate, quarantine, and move on. It's obvious, as I pointed out the last couple of weeks, that both intolerance and money will take over. Intolerance on everybody's behalf of our current situation. An intolerance towards continuing this lockdown. An intolerance towards putting our lives on hold, and quite simply, it's just a fact, it's just real, the money is too great. There's too much dependent upon the economics of professional and college football and sports at large for it to remain on the sideline. Money and intolerance will take over, and sports will come back. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. LeBron James was on his talk show, Uninterrupted, where he was talking about watching The Last Dance. And he, like everyone, is taken with Michael Jordan. In fact, he talked about when he was 16 years old, the opportunity to meet Michael Jordan. He talked about it being like meeting Black Jesus. He said if he had died at that moment, he would have thought it would have been a complete life. He is, I think, appropriately reverent towards who Michael Jordan not just was, but is. And then he went on to talk about what it would have been like watching Scottie Pippen play with Michael Jordan, for him to have played with Michael Jordan. Listen to this.
I could care less about how great Mike was, how transcendent he was as a personality, as a person, but just his drive. And I know me personally, the way I play the game, where it comes to like team first, I just feel like my best assets work perfectly with Mike. Mike is an assassin when it comes to that, playing the game of basketball, scoring the way he scored the ball, my ability to pass, my ability to read the game, plays and plays and plays in advance, and then just taking the challenge. Like, I love when a teammate come to me and challenge me and tell me, okay, all right, come on now. All right, Six, you know, when I was in Miami, D-Wade used to be like, all right, Six, let's go. You know, T-Lou used to challenge me a lot when I was in Cleveland. He'd be like, all right, Bron, what you waiting on? You know what I'm saying? And I just see that from Mike. And, you know, I just feel like our games was just a perfect, you know, correlation to be able to just be successful. You know, I see the things that Pitt was able to do with Mike. I just think it would have been a whole nother level. You know, with me being that point forward, you know, alongside him during those Chicago runs.
It would have been nice to be Michael Jordan's teammate. Our games would have fit well together. Now, here's the thing. LeBron James is right. He's absolutely correct. Their games would have fit well together. LeBron is a souped-up Scottie Pippen. He would have fit in perfectly on the same team as Michael Jordan. And in part, it's because of what LeBron James describes about their two games. Michael Jordan is an assassin. Michael Jordan is absolutely somebody that is there to score and take over and win a game. And LeBron James, I think very self-aware, said, I'm someone who understands how to see the game, plays and plays and plays ahead of time, assists, contribute, in many ways, not just scoring to a team. I think LeBron James is right. He's self-aware. He would have been a good teammate beside Michael Jordan. But Michael Jordan would never have said that about LeBron James. Michael Jordan would never say that about anybody because he considered everyone, if not his rival, his competition. He wanted to destroy everybody, and that's what made Michael Jordan who he is, the greatest of all time. And that's the difference between LeBron James and Michael Jordan. Now, to be fair, James went on to say, I love the greats, and I would have loved to play with them all during their runs because I'm a historian of the game, and I would also die to compete versus every single one of them. Don't ever get it twisted. Nevertheless, MJ, thank you for being my angel, inspiration, and superhero. He said, I would die to compete against every single one of them. But he wouldn't mind also being a part of their run. Jordan didn't want to be a part of anybody's run. He wanted to destroy your run. He wanted to take down your run. Have you ever seen a list of Hall of Famers and top 20 NBA players of all time that Jordan denied a ring to? That Jordan ousted from the playoffs? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's Reggie Miller. It's Karl Malone. It's John Stockton. It's Charles Barkley. It's Clyde Drexler. It's Dennis Rodman. It's Isaiah Thomas. It's Magic Johnson. It's on and on and on. He didn't want to be their teammates. He wanted to end their pursuit of a ring. LeBron would like to join their pursuit of the ring. I appreciate the player that LeBron is. In a lot of ways, we're being unfair. They're different kinds of basketball players. That's absolutely true. LeBron does see the game. You guys know I've talked about it on so many occasions, the idea of OODA loop. Observe, orient, decide, and act. The guy that can do that the fastest, loop that equation, sees the game before everyone else. He's like Nostradamus on the floor. He's playing on a 3-second fast forward from everybody else. And LeBron's like that. And he's amazing. But Jordan was like that as well. And the difference between the two, the reason that Jordan is unassailably the GOAT, is he would never say something like LeBron James just said. LeBron James is waving the white flag. He's admitting. He's saying no mas. He's saying Jordan is the greatest of all time. Brian Windhorst, ESPN's NBA insider, was on Get Up, and he talked about The Last Dance and its impact not just on LeBron James's legacy, but his psyche as well. Listen.
Well, just look at this poll we released yesterday, which had some ridiculous things about it. People thinking that Michael Jordan was a better passer than LeBron and stuff. It has, you know, remade it. You know, if you're of a certain age, you grew up, falling in love with Jordan and then watched LeBron's career. If you're of a certain age, you grew up watching Dr. J and Larry Bird, or you watched Bill Russell and Will Chamberlain. Or if you're a certain age, you never got to see Michael Jordan play. So this really brought him to people who've forgotten or hadn't seen him play. I do think that part of the reason Jordan said yes to this, he said yes to this documentary in the summer in 2016 after LeBron won that title, was because maybe for the first time there was possibly a threat to the throne.
I don't doubt that in the slightest. Michael Jordan, once again, making a competition about of everything. Michael Jordan, once again, trying to put down whoever would step up to him. And this time, he got LeBron James to do just that. That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. The breaking news of just the last couple of minutes is that the NFL has decided to table its proposed resolution to incentivize minority hiring by giving you increased draft position, better draft position. Was that the right call? Should they have done that? or was this a step in the right direction? We'll talk about that next on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
You don't want to be a black man hired under these conditions.
The process, obviously, there's some issues there that needs to be fixed.
You would be the epitome of what they call an affirmative action hire.
Going into any coaching search or general manager search, an owner has preconceived notions or ideas about the person that he wants to lead his team. And it ultimately ends up being somebody that's white more so than it ends up being candidates of color.
In the 100-year history of the league, there's only been 18 minority head coaches.
There was almost nobody to defend the NFL's proposed resolution to incentivize minority candidates being hired in the league by giving teams to do so and improve draft stock. Almost nobody to defend it. Until now. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. The NFL today decided to table that proposed resolution. They will not be voting on that a little bit later this week. That's a wise move. I think almost everybody agrees. This didn't make any sense whatsoever. I mean, it was incredibly offensive to, I think, everybody involved. It was nothing short of bribery. It would have undercut not just the teams who make the hiring, but it would have undercut the candidates who would have been hired under this proposal. There would constantly be questions about why it is that head coach or that GM got hired. Was it your merit, or was it the incentive that the NFL attached to your hiring? The bottom line is this. What we all, I think, all want is to hire the best man for the job. Let merit dictate who gets the job. Now, that doesn't mean I think that that always happens, that bias doesn't play a role. I definitely think that it does. And we talked about it yesterday here on The Will Cain Show. I have seen it firsthand. Sometimes that bias comes in the form of racial bias. Other times it comes in the form of gender bias. And other times it comes in the form of ideological bias. It does play a role. It's because people hire others that they are comfortable with. In lieu of being able to decide who has the best case, because it's not always cut and dried, who has the most merit, human beings default to comfort. It's what we do. It doesn't make it right, but it is clearly a human instinct. We socialize, we network, we work, we vote around people who think, look, act, and were raised like us. It's a shame because it is something that limits our growth. You're only really somebody who gets better by being challenged. We seem to understand that when it comes to physical growth, you know? In order to get in shape, you gotta be challenged. You gotta physically strain yourself. You don't get in shape by sitting on the couch. Being comfortable all the time. We seem to understand that when it comes to our physical growth, but our mental, even our spiritual growth, we don't seem to apply the same rigorous standards. Surround yourself with people who challenge you, who are different than you, and not only do you benefit the relationship, but you benefit yourself. I believe that all the way. I know it's not easy, by the way. It's much easier, more comfortably around people that always go, you know, that was right. That was funny. Oh, I get that joke because we grew up in the same area. It's fun. I get that. But fun isn't always the goal, is it? No. Winning, being challenged, being better. And so I understand the role that bias can play. But I don't think attaching a bribe to it is the right way to go about breaking down those comfort zones, those networks, that familiarity. And most people agreed. Everyone said, this is ridiculous. This is a terrible proposal. Dominique Foxworth, an ESPN NFL analyst, contributor to The Undefeated here at ESPN, he also thought it was a terrible idea. But then, I don't know if he slept on it or if it was later the same day, Dominique started to change his tune. He said, no, as it turns out, I think maybe I do like this idea. He changed his tune. Why? Here's Dominique Foxworth.
So I started out being very appalled by this and kind of pushed back by the idea of incentivizing them to make these type of hires. But then I started looking around and seeing all the people that agreed with me. So that made me realize that I must be wrong. And now that I think about it, I think that incentivizing them to make the right thing is the best thing you can do given this situation. Like if you want to change behavior, there's kind of that old stick and carrot philosophy. So you're either going to incentivize people to do the right thing if doing the right thing is not natural to them, or you're going to punish them for doing the wrong thing. I must not have been right, because a lot of people that I know are always wrong on issues of race was like, hey, Foxworth, you're right. So I had to rethink it. And I think that the issue is, when I think about what the actual problem is, it makes me uncomfortable. And that's fine. That's not a problem. That's something we can get over.
Now, I don't know. Was it some guys on the show here, I'm not going to put them on the spot, but some of the guys on the show thought that might have been me Dominique was talking about. You know, looked around and was like, why are we on the same page on this? Why do, if I agree with some of these guys who I never agree with, who I think are always wrong, well, then I must be wrong. Let me say a couple of things. Number one, you should be able to change your opinion. It's true. If you think about something, if you sleep on it, if you put more research into it, it's fine to change your opinion. It's fine to grow. But the why is really important. I think it's also sometimes okay to go, whoa, 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 look around, man. All of a sudden I'm in the same room as these guys. This is, we're all on the same page. That's not a bad thing to realize and look around and go, I've done it. I've like, oh, all of a sudden I have the same opinion of all the people that I generally think have a long history of being wrong. What's going on? But that moment of reflection doesn't mean that I go change my opinion because they share the same thing. That's not principled. That's reactionary. That's not having any conviction. That's only doing the opposite of people you've decided are on the opposite side of things from you are doing. And I can promise you this, it's unthinking. If that's what motivated Dominique, it's not as the rigorous thought led him there. It's, I don't want to be on that team. The team's always wrong. They must be wrong again. No, it's okay to recognize those things. It's okay to change your opinions. It's not the right way to go about it by just saying wherever they are, I'm always on the opposite side. This was a bad proposal, and it was from the beginning. You could sleep on it for 5 nights. You could sleep on it for a year. It stays a stupid idea. It stays bribery. It stays something that undercuts the credibility and the merit of any candidate hired under this. I think Louis Riddick understands that. He talked about that on Get Up. Listen.
When you are talking about something like this in terms of incentivizing owners to go ahead and hire people like myself or any minority for that matter, what in essence you are doing is, if in fact we were to get the job, you are undermining our ability to lead and be in a leadership position, because there inevitably are going to be people with inside of that building that you were hired in order to oversee who are going to look at you and say, I don't know if you got this job because of your competency. And therefore, you're going to have to come in here and prove to me beyond what anyone else would normally have to prove, that you are worthy of this job. And do you really want to put people in that situation? Is that really what you want to have happen in the year 2020 in the National Football League?
Lewis and I recently had a podcast, which you can go find on the Will Cain Show feed. It's a long hour-plus conversation about his career, how he grew up, what he wants, why he is not yet a GM. And we talk about the role of race in that as well. We talked about the role of networking and familiarity. By the way, the NFL understood that. That's why they put in place the Rooney Rule. The Rooney Rule is designed exactly to do that, to break down those zones of familiarity and comfort, to break down that networking. Does it work? No, because you can't force people to do that. You can expose them to people who look, think, or grew up differently than them. That's where you start, but that doesn't guarantee that somebody will get hired. Nothing does, including this bribe, which thankfully is something the NFL has tabled for now. The Will Cain Show is brought to you by Barbasol Shaving Cream. Barbasol Shaving Cream comes out thick and rich, doesn't break down. That's why Barbasol is America's number one shaving cream. Better buy Barbasol. Let's talk to our buddy Dan Orlovsky. He's going to come hang out with us next on The Will Cain Show.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school, or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance. And fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Tom Brady's back on the practice field, and he's got his teammates with him. It's a big advantage, is it not, to a state that's opening up, Florida, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting, home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. Let's run that advantage by our buddy Dan Orlovsky, who's on our phone lines right now. What's up, Orlovsky?
How are you, buddy? Good to hear you.
You too, man. That's got to be a pretty big advantage. Brady's on the practice field. He's got Mike Evans and Cam Brate and O.J. Howard and, I don't know, half a dozen other guys with him. He's got his center with him. He can do that without coaches because Florida's opened up. And that's got to be a pretty big advantage for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Houston Texans, should they want to do it, the Dallas Cowboys, any other state that's now opening up. Those pro teams can get after it.
I mean, I totally disagree with you. I guess in the broad stroke, they're an advantage because of what you literally just said. But if we're looking at it like in the grand scheme of things, Brady's at a massive disadvantage because of this offseason. And if you look at within their division alone, Matt Ryan's going into his fifth year with Dirk Cutter as his offensive coordinator and multiple years with Julio Jones and some of his receivers. Drew Brees is in his 14th season with Sean Payton, multiple years with Michael Thomas. Russell Wilson's in his third year with Brian Schottenheimer. Carson Wentz is in, what, his fifth year with Doug Peterson. Fifth year with Doug Peterson. So there's so many other quarterbacks that have the comfort and the familiarity with their play caller and their scheme that Brady's playing behind. And for him not to have the offseason and the OTAs and the minicamp is a huge disadvantage. So for him getting on the practice field and throwing some of those guys, it's a huge deal. It's a big deal, and they need to expedite it as quickly as possible. But I don't think it's like this massive advantage in comparison to all those other teams that already have years and years of built-up equity between play caller and quarterback.
No, I'm not saying it's an advantage as compared to a normal season or a team that doesn't have to learn something new, but I'm talking about versus a team that isn't capable of getting together right now. Right now, the NFL does not allow coaches to be involved with their players, but if you have a leader like Brady in a state that's opened up and the ability to get everybody on the field at the same time, that's an advantage. And I would say Brady is taking advantage of that advantage right now. He is becoming the leader. He's getting those Bucks out there before the team can actually get together. And maybe he's having to play catch up, like you said, but better there than if he were in California. Better there than if he was trying to get integrated into the Los Angeles Chargers right now.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a fair statement. Yes, but again, he's playing from behind so much that it's not like this advantage is going to be, well, you know what, the Buccaneers were able to get together and the Chargers weren't, and so that was just so unfair. So, I'm not surprised that he is, and yes, it's fortunate that they can get together, and like I said, it's really important that they do this stuff, but I don't sit here and go, man, the Buccaneers are so much more, they're in such a much more favorable position right now because of the rules or what's going on.
Dan Orlovsky here on the Will Cain Show. I know that one of the teams you've talked about this offseason who've had a good run of it, who've improved their team, is the Cleveland Browns. But, Dan, aren't they in the same situation as the one you're describing? That is Baker Mayfield. That is that entire team trying to learn a new offensive system under a new coach.
Well, yeah, there's a big challenge there. Now, there's a couple caveats that kind of I feel a little bit more comfortable about for Cleveland than, so to speak, another team. One, Cleveland signed Case Keenum. Just because you can't meet with the coaches doesn't mean the players can't get together. And I promise you, Case Keenum as a leader is going to Baker Mayfield. They're getting together. He is teaching him that offense. Second of all, that offense is not very intellectually difficult for a quarterback. It is a lot of times, we call this play, you got two plays called in the huddle, and depending on what your game plan is and whatnot, we're going to run it or we're going to throw it, or maybe we'll go throw, depending on the coverage. And it's such a heavy play-action-based offense. So for people to understand, when you do drop-back quarterback, right, so no play fake to the running back, a lot of times you have to know the coverage before the snap or instantly on the snap because it happens so quick. And a lot of times it's, if it's a man, you go here, or if it's a single high zone, you go here, meaning one safety in the midfield, or two high, two safeties, you go here. So you have to know the coverage to see which side of the field you really want to work. When you go play action, you don't necessarily need to know the coverage that much. One, you're turning your back to the line of scrimmage. And two, a lot of times the progressions are, it's a progression-based read, meaning, hey, no matter what, you start number one, number two, to number three. And so that doesn't, it doesn't force this massive amount of learning for Baker Mayfield. It is a comfort thing for him. And so I think there's a little bit of an advantage there where someone like the Bucs are going to be in a lot of empty drop-back personnel or plays, and that's going to force more learning on Tom Brady's shoulders.
Hey, Dan, that thing you're describing, of course, Kevin Stefanski came from Minnesota. I believe it was Mike Sando of The Athletic who was telling me this recently. But, and I think he was telling me this on air, so I'm not telling any secrets, the reputation of Kirk Cousins across the league isn't as high as perhaps his numbers would suggest. He has great numbers, right? But part of it is because of what you just described. That offense was really easy. It didn't ask much of him. The heavy use of play action made it easy for him. Is that all fair in your mind then? And you just said it's one of the easiest offenses in the in the league to execute.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I grew up in that offense in many ways. You know, I was in that offense with Gary Kubiak, who learned it with Mike Shanahan down in Houston. I was in that offense when Matt Schaub was a top five quarterback in the NFL for 3 or 4 years. Matt Schaub, who's a great friend of mine, but I don't think Matt Schaub was ever a top five talent at that position. He went to go to the Pro Bowl multiple times, won MVP at it. If you look at the five quarterbacks, and this is why I think Baker can have a massive year. If you look at the five quarterbacks that majored in that type of system last year in the NFL, it was Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo, Ryan Tannehill, Aaron Rodgers, and Kirk Cousins. Last year, they were like 140 and 35 win-loss record. They threw like 135 touchdowns and 30 interceptions, completed 67% of their passes. Like the scheme for the quarterbacks is built to allow them to play really well because it simplifies things and it makes it really easy and they can play very reactionary.
What's the hardest then, really quickly? If that's the easiest offense to execute, who's running the hardest, most complicated offense?
Oh, the hardest, most complicated offense, probably, you know, McDaniels in New England, Bill O'Brien in Houston. Bill O'Brien runs a very mentally taxing offensive scheme, both pre-snap and post-snap. So those are probably two of the harder scheme ones, just the mental taxing. I would say with those schemes that I was talking about, the hard thing is realizing everything is based on timing and rhythm, and your feet tell you who's open, not your eyes. And that's really difficult for guys to get accustomed to.
Hmm. All right. I could talk to you about that much more. You and I are going to be hanging out sometime soon. We'll break a lot of this stuff down together over a long period of time. You get back to whatever that is. What do you got? It sounds like your kid's running in traffic. I heard.
No, you know what? Oh, that's really nice of you to say. I'm actually in the woods right now. I've been watching your Instagram story and watching your kids run with parachutes and shooters, bears, and like you try to be this big cowboy as always. So I figured I'd go for a nature walk with my kids and see if I could do it as well.
Did you buy them a bow and arrow? That's what I did. You need to do that.
I didn't buy my kids a bow and arrow, but one of my kids is a pretty good black eye from the other. We breed them tough in Connecticut, you know, so.
That's the reputation, I know. It's known far and wide from the East Coast to the West Coast, those tough nutmeggers. All right, man, go have fun. I'll see you.
Later, buddy.
See you. I'll send him a bow and arrow. Every kid needs to have a good one, you know. Maybe not full compound, but at least, you know, a real, maybe not a recurve either, but a real bow and arrow, a real one. Coming up, let's play a game of butt hurt. That's right. Coming up on The Will Cain Show.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
This is Will Cain.
If you want a show that only tells you what you already believe, this is not the show for you. If you want a show to reinforce what you think you know, this is not the show for you. Looks like sports is coming back. From professional to college ranks, from New York to California, there's increasing signs we're going to have sports, and we're going to have it soon. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Lance Armstrong's rise was among the most dramatic, inspirational, and popular stories in sports history. Then his fall was remarkably absolute. Years later, his story remains as compelling as ever. And as for the man himself, he's not done talking. The latest 30 for 30, Lance, premieres with Part 1 this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. Part 1 will be available to stream on ESPN+, immediately following the conclusion of the broadcast. We'll get to which states are ready to roll, at least that's what they're saying, when it comes to professional sports. Will it mean the same for college? Just a moment here on the Will Cain Show. But let's go ahead and throw a few punches. I need one. I need one right to the nose. So in order to do that, I'm going to turn it over to Mike A. Let's play a game of Butthurt, Mike A. What do you got for us?
All right. First card. Who would make the worst president?
Everybody on the show. Nuno, Bubba, Mike A., Pat, and myself. Who would make the worst president? Well, I'd make the best.
I feel like this one's going to be easy.
I think so, too, probably.
Is it?
All right. You want to count it down, Will?
I'm down to two. I'm down to two. It's for me, it's between Pat and Nuno. I don't know.
I mean, ouch. I don't know. Is Nuno allowed to be president?
Well, hey,
it just wouldn't be elected. Good point. All right. Let's count it down, and then we could talk about
Nuno,
it.
Are you allowed to be president?
I am not. But if hypothetically, if I was able to, let's answer this question.
I mean, I guess it could be president of. It doesn't have to be this country. It could be a different any country.
Could be. It doesn't even have to be a president of a country.
What would Nuno's press conferences be like? I mean, just a travesty. You know,
it would be 40 minutes of him stumbling over words.
Can we vote before you guys attack me?
Okay, ready?
You want to be president? Get used to it.
3, 2, 1.
Pat.
Nuno.
I think I got 3 Nunos and 2 Pats. Is that what I heard?
I think so.
I'd be a great president.
Nuno, did you vote for yourself?
I did.
Nice. Why did you vote for yourself, Nuno?
Because, I mean, it wouldn't be a president. It would be more like a dictatorship. Like, that's what I would be angling for.
It would be funny to think about who would get drunk on the power. I mean, I think Pat would get drunk on the power. He already has irrational, firmly held opinions. You know what I mean? I will say Pat is curious. He is somewhat curious about, like, important matters. But it's just, honestly, it's his movie taste. It's really killing me on this deal.
I would mandate in my first day of office, everyone has to watch Joe Dirt.
It's better than the Fast Five.
Bubba and Mike A, you guys should both be proud. I can take a Bubba or Mike A presidency. You guys,
oh God, a Mike A presidency. Oh, we'd all be.
I mean, I seriously considered Mike, to be honest with you.
Man,
I get it.
I considered Mike, but Nuno was clearly a step ahead of Mike. But
listen, I don't mind being bad as long as I'm not the worst.
All right,
that's my motto.
There you go.
Hit us with another one, Mike.
All right, who is the last person you'd want to be stranded with on a desert island?
Oh.
A lot of ways to look at this one.
Wow.
A lot of ways to look at this one.
This is the easiest question in history.
It is?
Yeah.
It's. This is, I think. Okay, there's a lot that goes into this. Skills, you know?
It matters.
What are you bringing to the table? Your work ethic? Are you gonna help provide? How much do I have to talk to you? All of that stuff.
Yep.
That's pretty much, that last one is pretty much what I'm basing my entire answer on.
Okay.
All right, count it down.
I don't know. Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
Noon Mike.
Okay.
All right, what are we getting there?
I think I heard Nuno's and Mike A's. I don't know if I heard anything outside of those
I said
two.
Bubba.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I considered Bubba until we got to...
Being with Bubba on a deserted island would be the most miserable experience because he would not shut up.
Sounds awesome.
Time. What are you talking about? He talks less than most everybody else on the show.
He'd just be constantly... No, he'd just be constantly throwing jabs at you for, oh, that hut's a little bit lopsided. Oh, what?
I'll make a better hut, clown.
Oh, he'd be the worst.
He would criticize your fire
Bubba,
a lot.
Bubba, we really got to get out of here. Yep.
Criticism.
Wait a minute. Who chose me?
I chose you, Nuno. And here's why.
1 minute.
Here's why. You would just be like, hey, Mike, chop that tree down. I'd be like, Nuno, aren't you going to help me? I am helping
you. Yeah, this is the
dictatorship. Chop that tree down.
Nuno, who'd you vote for?
Mike A.
Why'd you pick me? Why'd you pick me? Yeah.
He's probably the, no offense, Mike, the least, I think he'll probably be the first I would want to kill, and I can't. So, like, I'm going to, like, you know, Pat's going to be, if we're on there for 30, 40, you know, like, 45 days and there's no food and, like, it's me or Pat, I think I have a good chance.
Right. All right, so you got it to the bleakest possible. Will, who'd you take?
Nuno's eating me.
I took you, Mike A.
Why?
Because I don't think I'm going to get you to chop down that tree.
Well done.
More butthurt later in the show. Next, we're coming back to sports.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.